Moncrief on News Talk.
It may be something you hadn't thought of before, or you've been seeing it all along. One of the defining features of traveller culture for women and girls is their hair. The artist Breda Mayock has been exploring this idea and turned it into an exhibition, which is about to open in various parts of the country. It's called Crown, and Breda joins us now on News Talk. Afternoon, Breda.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
You know, it's one of those obvious things, but you'd never think of it before. Traveller women always have fabulous hair. And it never struck me before finding out about your exhibition that obviously has a huge significance for them as well.
Yes, it's so true. I mean, it has. I suppose I'm a girl and a woman. Like, even as a girl, it struck me. I always noticed traveller girls and traveller women's hair. I started in 2019 talking to traveller women and girls about their hair. So, you know, I mean, hair is such a great subject because, I mean, we all have our hair stories. Like, nobody's going to be stuck for conversation about hair. But it is really interesting in the traveller culture because across the world, like in all indigenous cultures, there is a huge significance and a huge connection to identity and culture with women in hair, men and women's. So it was really interesting to talk to traveller women and girls about that, you know.
And from those conversations, were they able to kind of describe for you what significance their hair has for them? Or you know, does it project a particular message, if you like?
Yes. I mean, it takes time to... you know, just to get into the deeper aspects of the significance. But from the very beginning, I mean, you're talking about hair and its connection to your mother, your grandmother. Immediately, all the customs and traditions around hair, keeping hair, Saturday night baths, doing your hair, the oils that are involved, all the rituals around that. So you're immediately talking about tradition and culture and connection to family. There's, you know, nowadays why you wear your hair in a particular way when you do particular styles, like for special occasions. We went into the subject of like how other indigenous cultures, like their connections to their spirituality, their hair, the significance of people's hair or their heads being shaved or their hair being cut. A lot of cultures, you know, that would have happened, like Native American Indians. So that connection they'd feel through us talking about other cultures and hair. It's just really interesting. And it is so strongly attached to identity and to expression publicly. I mean, such a private thing, but then it's a very strong public like expression of yourself, your culture and your identity. And the women and the girls very much do express themselves in that way.
And so are there, if you like, techniques passed down from mother to daughter as to how to braid the hair and that kind of thing?
There are, yeah. I mean, braiding is a big thing. They'd always talk about grandmothers braiding their hair and how they take care of their hair. And it's very much right up till, you know, they tell their daughters very much the same thing, the same care, how to take care of them. They know as well that it's not just the outside, you know what I mean? That, like, it'd be funny, we'd all be talking about, you know, what you put into your body, like your hair isn't going to be great if you're eating that all the time or whatever, you know. We did make a film actually out of the conversations, really, we decided to do something visual about it. So we got a photographer, her name is Orla Sloyne, she lives locally, and she took photographs. We did like a good few sessions, photography sessions with, you know, emphasis on the hair, and out of that then we made a short documentary as well with Mia Mullarkey about hair, where the women get the chance to talk themselves about their hair and different subjects around it, you know.
Would the hair always be long?
Usually, I mean, you can't always like it's one of the things with traveler culture, you can't just talk about it as one thing.
Yes.
I mean, there's everybody individually, but generally, I mean, there's a huge expression like of hair, and the hair is very long, often, you know, very long, in a very particular way. I mean, they've got amazing hair, you know. So, I think the wearing of it long is, but you know, there's different times and different, they follow, of course, the fashions as well and trends and different times when you cut it up and cut into different styles and stuff like that.
And it kind of reminds me as well that it's an experience African Americans have as well, but particularly African American women, that they want to express themselves through their hair, but they can at times be subject to a bit of discrimination because of their hair, that, you know, go, oh my God, dreadlocks, and, you know, white people find that scary. Did traveller women experience something similar?
Yes, I think so. It's private, but it's also political, and traveller women would be identified by their hair, and girls, and that can work very positively if you're open to seeing the beauty of it, or it can work negatively because the traveller culture experience discrimination so openly in Ireland, unfortunately. And I do want to say that I'm a settled person at this point talking about traveller women and girls and this subject, which isn't ideal. And it is one of the things like that I'm like for we've gone further on in our discussions, and education, of course, is one of the subjects that I'm exploring at the moment with traveller women and girls. And probably one of the biggest things to come out of that for me at the moment, I mean, I'm just learning, is that we as settled people, we need an education. It's also need to be educated really about the history of traveller culture, why travellers, who they are, who they were 100 years ago, the space they've moved through over that 100 years to where they are now. And we need that education so that we can understand the culture and why the traveller communities in our areas and our localities are where they are at this moment in time. Like nomadism is a huge part of traveller culture that has been, of course, like that it's not even legal at the moment in Ireland for them to practice that part of their culture.
Yeah, as I understand it, the overwhelming majority of travellers don't travel. They live in houses, actually, for the most part, because it's kind of been winnowed away.
Yes, it has. I mean, in the 60s, you know, there was a move to solve, in inverted commas, the traveller problem, in inverted commas, to house the travellers were one of those, was the main trust of that of what happened in the 60s. So, but that was without any understanding or respect, really, for the culture and the who and what that culture needs to express. That just creates all these problems which now exist. But we need to understand why they came to be.
Indeed. Well, if you don't know people, you tend to have a two-dimensional image of them. I must say as well, I looked at some of the pictures online, and they really are stunning pictures. They're fantastic, the different ways in which the hair is presented. Now, where can people see this kind of in the real world, for want of a better phrase? Are there places open to see it?
Yeah, well, luckily at the moment we're just starting to open up. So there is an exhibition called Crown Bure open in the National Museum of Ireland Country Life in Turla Park in Mayo. And that is open at the moment. And Crown Bure is the cant or the for a woman. So that's a series of picture or photographs of the traveller woman. And there's also at the moment, there's an exhibition in Dunleary, in the Lexicon there in Dunleary. There's a great exhibition on there called Tangled, and it's a whole, there's a good few artists involved in that exhibition, and there's some videos as well.
And before I let you go, this was because you did get a Platform 31 bursary.
Yeah, well, I was working before that with Crown. Crown actually happened before that, but because I'm using my Platform 31 bursary to kind of explore the subject further with regards to education and this the kind of journey of travellers through the education system in Ireland. So I'd like to, you know, bring that to light in a visual way, in some beautiful way, just as Crown happened as well, with these beautiful images, and just present it to the public in a way that maybe it creates conversation and makes you think and look, see something in a way that you didn't see it before.
That exhibition is called Crown in various locations, as Breda just said there, so keep an eye out for that. Breda Mayock, thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean. Thanks a lot.
And as a lot of people have pointed out while we have been just talking there, Kieran, for instance, says, I admire your controlled demeanour when your guests proclaim that we all have stories about our own hair. You're a true professional. Thank you, Kieran. It's just another example of the hairist culture that we live in and the terrible discrimination that I have to suffer. Joan says, on the same subject, a lady got in my taxi at Dublin Airport, having travelled from the UK as part of a hens group with humongous curlers in her hair, and not a bother on her. Good for her. Pat says, the length of hair is the thing that strikes me about most travellers, and traveller women in particular. Do they have some sort of Samson thing going on? No, I mean, it's just a cultural thing. It often strikes me that Iranian women as well always have like really big hair. Now, it's also to do with like the quality of the hair. It's really thick and I assume that's some sort of genetic thing. Some people are born with good hair, others aren't.
Moncrief on News Talk.